If you take out your song sheet one more time. And we'll sing Come Walk With Us and then Hambanati Mekulu Wetu.
Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us, the journey is long. Come walk with us,
Good morning and welcome to the final session of the Central District Conference for 2018. The first 45 minutes or so of this morning session will begin with the Missional Church Committee report, followed by a congregational story, Carl Shelley for Assembly. Then the Ministerial Committee report, and finally an action item to adopt the budget for 2018-2019. People can come up as needed following this agenda. Thank you. Missional Church first.
Hello, and welcome to Central District Conference Jeopardy. I'm your host and chair of the Missional Church Committee, Matthew Morin. Our contestants today are members of the Missional Church Committee, Phil Hart, Kiva Nice-Webb, and John Powell. Please give them a round of applause. Today's judges are Gladine Hirschberger and Sandy Miller. And last but certainly not least, my co-host today is the marvelous, the mysterious, the vivacious, everyone's favorite game show diva, Tim Stare. Okay, let's get started. Our one and only category today is Missional Church Committee. We drew straws before the show. And in accordance with the inscrutable decrees of divine will that have been laid since the beginning of time, Phil goes first.
Very good. I'll take Missional Church Committee for 100, please.
Answer. This committee was formed in 2004 as a result of a merger between three other committees.
What is the Missional Church Committee?
That's correct.
Good job, good job.
Correct.
Well, the Missional Church Committee was born out of three now defunct CDC committees, the Education and Nurturing Committee, the Peace and Justice Committee, the Evangelism and Church Development Committee. The influence of those committees still informs our work today. Missional Church strives to build up the congregations by sharing resources for teaching and worship. We have loads of articles, book recommendations, and other useful documents on the CDC website. They're there for churches to use, so check them out. We also strive to build up the conference by bringing CDC congregations together for fellowship and collaboration. And finally, we strive to build up God's world by sending congregations to announce God's liberation and to show God's love in their neighborhoods and towns.
Okay, thank you, Phil, for that very helpful summary. Kiva, you're up.
Missional Church Committee for 200, please.
Answer. This year's recipients included Lima Mennonite, Grace Mennonite Pandora, First Mennonite Bluffton, Oak Grove Mennonite, and First Mennonite Wadsworth.
Who are the most recent Reign of God grant recipients?
Yes, correct.
Would representatives from those congregations please stand as they are called once again? Those churches were Lima Mennonite, Grace Mennonite Pandora, First Mennonite Bluffton, Oak Grove Mennonite, and First Mennonite Wadsworth. If you're wondering what it is, a Reign of God grant is a chunk of money given from the conference to two or more CDC congregations. Churches are encouraged to use Reign of God grants to offset the cost of initiatives related to worship, nurture, evangelism, education, peacemaking, justice making, and or creation care. This year's recipients used the grant to host performances by Ted and Company. The purpose of these performances was to teach about the doctrine of discovery. It's a dreadful place in U.S. history, and it's continuing legacy today. Performances were made free and open to the public. Congregations are strongly encouraged to apply for the Reign of God grants in the coming year.
Thank you, Kiva. John Powell, it's your turn.
Well, I'll take Missional Church Committee for 300.
Congratulations, John. I think that means you've hit the daily double.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
All right, you can do it, John.
Come on, John.
Here's your answer. These are not necessarily church plants, although they may be.
What are communities of faith and peace?
That's right, John. Could you say more?
Well, several years ago, the Missional Church Committee began to hear rumblings of non-traditional peace and justice-minded groups springing up all around CDC. And some of these communities were made of people who expressed hesitancy about joining a church, but were nonetheless passionate about joining God's work in the world. As a committee, we walked alongside these groups, providing coaching, counseling, and assistance as they were asked. Some of these groups have gone away in the past year, but we don't know whether they will be withered away or for good or whether they're merely gone underground just for seeding. So we'll see. So the Missional Church Committee remains attentive to all the ways that God might bring people together into non-traditional communities of faith and peace.
Great work, John. Thank you. Phil, you're up again.
Okay, Missional Church for 400, please.
Answer, this is an annual conference organized by Mennonite Church USA and Mennonite Mission Network for people who wish to plant peace churches and who, quote, feel sent to the world to be a kingdom presence.
What is the Super Bowl?
Wrong.
Shoe fly pie?
Incorrect, and a reminder, your response must be phrased as a question.
What is shoe fly pie?
I'm sorry, that's still wrong.
No, I'm actually asking, seriously. What is shoe fly pie? I keep hearing about it, and I haven't the slightest idea what it is.
Don't ask me, I'm Irish. Anyways, the correct response is, what is scent? It's an acronym right? Judge Sandy Miller, could you please help us out with this one?
Well, actually, Matt, SENT is not an acronym. SENT is the very word that Jesus gives us in Matthew 28, in which we are called to be sent into the world to make disciples. So, an article by Jason Boone, who was at the recent SENT gathering, wrote, "There's a movement building in Mennonite Church USA. It's diverse, multicultural, and energized to take the church to new places. Nearly 100 leaders from across MCUSA gathered at Living Water Community Church in Chicago for the third annual SENT. This gathering was co-sponsored by Mennonite Mission Network and Everence, and the conference focused on lessons that can be gleaned from established congregations and on some new approaches to church life that are emerging as we imagine the challenges of this 21st century. This third year of SENT gathers together church planters, coaches, and others around the church who are interested in creating communities of faith and communities of peace. This year at Living Water Community Church, this is an actual church plant by Reba Place in 1995. We were able to experience their setting in which they are reaching out into their community and they are being a living community of peace and justice. We gathered together people with last names like Arenas, Pellicer, Lagos, Byrant, Gitti, Tahirna, Matahilamua, Zapata Palacios, Hernandez, Ringenberg, Martinez, Dutt, Maldonado, Domingo, Snyder. Names of people from different racial ethnic groups who gathered together for the sole purpose of sharing the biblical story of God, as well as their own individual story of how God is present in them and through them and in the communities that they are part of. This gathering takes the best of leaders across the U.S., both those from the established church, we referred to them during this time as a legacy church, as well as those who are building these faith communities. And we took words like evangelism and peacemaking and justice making, and we combined them all together because we recognize that it doesn't matter what words you use, we're all called. We're all called to be part of the work that God established and which Jesus commissioned us for, to make disciples. The Holy Spirit has and is present with us and is equipping us for that work. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God for that. So come on now. Next year, we're already planning for SENT 2019. We're hoping that more people will come and learn to know one another, these names that aren't Miller or Schrock, but these people who are very passionate about God's love and God's peace in this world. May God's kingdom come on this earth as it is in heaven. That's SENT.
Preach it, sister. Preach it.
Thank you, Sandy. It looks like we're almost out of time. Thank you, Tim. Let's move to Final Jeopardy. Here's your answer. During yesterday's introductions by the board president, this person was incorrectly identified as, quote, the one and only. Well done. Okay, contestants, let's see your answers all together. Yes. That's correct.
As a matter of fact, that's not correct. In the U.S. white page directories, there are no less than 78 people with the same version, some version, of Gerald Mast. 10 of those reside in this very state. So Gerald is hardly the one and only. Now, Armin Humbugger, well, that's another story.
Thank you for that clarification, Judge Gladine. And thank you all. See you next time on CDC Jeopardy.
Good morning. My name is Carl Shelley. I'm one of the pastors at Assembly Mennonite Church, and I'm to tell you a little story. Over the years, Assembly, like many other congregations, has been trying to respond to our concerns for immigrants and about our country's cruel immigration policies. We've written letters to elected officials, participated in protests, brought hundreds of "We're glad you're our neighbor" yard signs to Goshen, provided material aid, and sent a group of us on a learning tour to the Mexican border. But a year and a half ago, we initiated a new way of walking with our immigrant neighbors. Soon after the 2016 election, fear of deportation raids spiked in Goshen. The National Immigrant Justice Center, NIJC, which has an office in Goshen led by Lisa Koop, a member at Assembly, was inundated with undocumented persons seeking legal and practical help. The most urgent need was for transportation to court hearings and other immigration-related appointments. In response, a dedicated group within Assembly developed an online referral center where volunteers were matched with transportation needs. But transportation was only one need. There were also needs for interpreters, for childcare, for education about one's rights, financial assistance and support for people who felt isolated and scared. So networks of volunteers were built for these and other areas too. This program came to be called Safety Networks and has been up and running since March 2017. Each of the 10 networks has a designated coordinator and carefully crafted guidelines and procedures. While Safety Network started with Assembly volunteers responding to NIJC's referrals, we've since expanded the volunteer pool to include a variety of Goshen area congregations, many of which represented here. And our referral partners now include social workers at high schools, medical offices that serve the Latino community, and the Center for Healing and Hope. We've encountered many dozens of people with a variety of needs. One volunteer worked with a young immigrant wanting to learn to drive. They studied the driver's education manual and practiced driving together. Another taught a person how to navigate the South Shore train to Chicago so he could get to his pro bono attorney's office in Chicago. Others arranged a last-minute ride to Indianapolis for an ICE check-in necessary to avoid the threat of deportation. We've also raised and spent thousands of dollars for DACA applications, legal fees, rent assistance, and volunteer reimbursement. One volunteer commented that, "Volunteering with Safety Networks has been a meaningful way I can impact our discordant immigration system. All my experiences have been humbling and positive. While never knowing the immense struggles these immigrants have faced, I do know that in a small way I have made life easier," end of quote. Safety Networks is one way we at Assembly walk with others on the long journey toward immigration justice.
The ministerial committee members could come forward and join me up here, please. I am pleased to represent the ministerial committee, and on that committee, of course, is Brenda Swatsky-Paitko from 8th Street, Kay Bontrager Singer from Faith, Renee Kanagi from Cincinnati Mennonite, and she was here just a little bit ago, and Ray Person from First Mennonite in Bluffton, who is not here today, and then newly appointed Michael Crosby from First Urbana. For the Ministerial Committee, I was going to start with three reports, or three stories, since we've been walking and talking and telling stories, but Emma would not give me 30 minutes. So here it is. And believe me, don't look at your schedules because I didn't wear a watch. This is just my Fitbit. As we have talked together for the last 36 hours, we've heard many stories, and the journey is long, and it continues. As we heard today, the invitation to the water, yesterday, the invitation to the table, to the stranger, and we've heard stories from many different churches and from many different people here of that journey, of that walk, of that invitation. And as part of the Ministerial Committee, it is our duty and is our privilege to walk with the credentialed leaders in our conference to encourage and facilitate that. The first story I want to tell you is all about Doug, actually. I didn't interview him for this, so it may be rhetoric. No. No. As a ministerial committee, we are privileged to walk and to work with Doug, our conference minister. We help him and assist him where possible in helping to relieve any load off his plate. We are acutely aware of his schedule, of his travel, of the ongoing need for the increase in numbers, and we keep that in the forefront. Thank you, Doug, for the extraordinarily important work that you do and your gifts and dedication on behalf of Central District Conference. We are blessed. The second story, thank you. The second story is a story that is a personal story, and I debated about sharing it, but it also speaks to the testament and the importance of the credentialed leaders that we have in Central District Conference. As one who identifies as LGBT, I have experienced the transformational love of God from credentialed leaders here in Central District Conference. From my first conference in Madison, Wisconsin, I was transformed by this love, by this invitation, coming to the water. I was a stranger who was welcomed to this table. As John urged us yesterday, we have lots to do. We've heard lots of stories of those invitations to the table. To our Muslim friends, to our immigrant friends, to those who are on the fringe. This is important work, my friends. And I am glad to be a part of that and to represent Central District Conference and those who work closely with me. I'm going to thank you, Jane, for your hand of love, and for Lois for the work that you have done. This story is not over, and we will continue that work to share the love of God to those around us. To that end, we as a committee are blessed to help facilitate the love of God, our parent, for Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our sustainer, as we work with those who are called to ministry in Central District Conference. This is not a charge that we take lightly. We participate in interviews for licensing, interviews for ordination, along with providing avenues for relationships within our credentialed members. Our full report is in the packet that you received. Having said all of that, we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate with those who have been licensed or installed or ordained in the past year. And if you would, when I read your name, if you would please come forward, and we'll have a commissioning prayer as well. Ordinations, Deborah Byler at Hively Avenue, Julia Gingrich at 8th Street Mennonite, Deborah Suter, 1st Mennonite Urbana, and you're welcome to just make a line across. Laura Nafsiger, Assembly, Lydia Brenneman from Lima. Licensing this year, Jake Hess at Hively, Allison Brookins, Chicago Community, Eliza Wurtenberger, Columbus, Peter Martin, Emmaus Road, and Devon Miller at Florence. Installations, Tim Stair at Hively, Linford and Mary Etta King, Covenant, Theta Good, 1st of Bluffton, Hillary Watson, Shalom Community, and Trevor Bechtel, Shalom Community. Friends, the work is expansive, the work continues, and we are blessed with leaders who have been called, who have come to the water, who are sharing in that story, who are sharing in that long journey, and we are defeating those dead ends. We are defeating the no's. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, my apologies. Tim Peebles. Thank you. I meant to ask, who did I forget, but sorry.
Anyone else?
Is there?
Thank you. Thank you for catching that. So I want to offer you a blessing. May today there be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be confident knowing you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into your bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of us. Thank you.
Before you sit down, please join in. Organize yourselves in a corner.
As we're preparing for that, we also take a moment that we will do now or shortly. I tell you what, we're gonna have a change in plans. I'm not sure if all of you are aware of the Journey Program. The Journey Program is a collaboration between Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminary, Central District Conference, and Indiana-Michigan Conference. And we have a representative from the Journey Program that would just like to give us a few words. It's a missional leadership development program designed for those who are called, to those who are seeking the water of ministry. And I asked Dennis if you would just come forward.
Good morning. I'm Dennis Miller, and I've been in the Journey program. I started in the fall of 2016. I've been in construction my whole life, nearing the age of 60, And I was telling my wife, I've always had this desire to work in the church. And so when I found out about the Journey program, it gave me the opportunity, you know, to explore that nudge that I've had over the years. And so, you know, I didn't know what to expect, but the Journey has changed my life. It changed my priorities, and also the things that I have learned along the way have been so good for me. Just, you know, coming right out of high school and I went right to work, this extra education, sometimes, you know, it really is overwhelming, but it has really caused me to do things different. You know, I've had to learn how to write again. Not that I ever knew how before, but so the whole thing has just been a real uplifting experience. And for my own spiritual journey, it is just, I can't say enough about what it's done for that. And it's caused me to, you know, when we live and we go through life and we just do what everybody does, it's caused me to think about what I'm really doing and that it's all right to be different. And that's a big thing to me as I work through this. And I just, I'm so thankful for the things that I'm gaining through this. Now, one of the things, when I first went in for my interview, at the time it was Lois, was our conference pastor, and I wanted to make sure that she knew that I'm in this program, but I'm not a preacher. So I don't know how many times I told her that, but I wanted to clarify it, that I don't preach. You know, and I was hoping I'd see her here this morning because tomorrow I'm preaching. But actually, as I was walking in the door this morning, Lois was going out, and I was able to tell her that because I said, I'm going to talk about you this morning, but now you're leaving. But anyway, so I don't know, you know, where this is going for me, but 2 years ago, I would have never even given preaching a chance. And so I know this is something I need to do for the Journey program, but I'm looking forward to that, and I'm just looking forward to more growth in my life and where, you know, God's going to call me through all this. Thank you.
We are remembering four CDC pastors who have died since our last annual sessions. In this remembering of these pastors and their contributions in CDC and beyond, we give thanks that we have not only their legacy, but their ongoing participation in the cloud of witnesses that is encouraging all of us on. We remember Nancy Kerr, who died September 24th, 2017, in Prince George, British Columbia. Nancy completed her MDiv at Associated Mennonite Biblical Seminaries in 1986. She served at Cincinnati Mennonite Church, Pulaski Mennonite Church in Iowa, and a third Mennonite church in BC. Nancy went on to complete her doctoral work in clinical psychology and served the church in areas of mental health and peace education at the college level, in addition to her private clinical practice. We light this candle in memory of Nancy Kerr. We remember Gordon Ralph Dick, who died November 2nd, 2017 in Estes Park, Colorado. Gordon served with the Mennonite Central Committee prior to moving to Elkhart to complete a degree in pastoral counseling at the Mennonite Biblical Seminary. He served as a pastor of First Mennonite Church in Napanee, Indiana. He became a conference minister for Central District Conference for the next 5 years. Gordon then began a 30-year career at Oaklawn Psychiatric Center until his retirement in 1999. We light this candle in memory of Gordon Ralph Dick. We remember Marilyn R. Kern, who died on March 15, 2018, in Bluffton, Ohio. She attended Weinbrenner Seminary in Findlay, Ohio, and then Iliff School of Theology in Denver, Colorado. She pastored in two congregations, First Mennonite Church in Bluffton and Oak Park Mennonite Church in Chicago. In addition, she taught at the Weinbrenner Seminary and then was editor of the Sunday School materials for the Churches of God General Conference in Findlay. We light this candle in memory of Marilyn Kern. We remember Earl Sears, who died on April 6, 2018, in Goshen, Indiana. Earl received his MDiv from the Mennonite Biblical Seminary and earned a DMin from Claremont School of Theology. He served in Waldo Mennonite Church in Flanagan, Illinois, Southside Mennonite Fellowship in Elkhart, Indiana, and Faith Mennonite Church in Newton, Kansas. In retirement, he also served in the Mennonite Church of Boston and in Union Church in Brasilia, Brazil. Earl co-founded the Victim Offender Reconciliation Program and other peace and justice efforts, including a gun buyback program, prison ministry, and advocating for refugees through the sanctuary movement. We light this candle in memory of Earl Sears. Please pray with me. O God, as we look at these lights and remember the people they represent, our hearts are full of gratitude. We claim the communion of saints, past, present, and future, a great cloud of witnesses radiating your love into this world. As we look at these lights and remember the people they represent, we seek your light to illumine the pathways for the church, drawing from the wisdom of these leaders. As we look at these lights and we remember the people they represent, we watch for a new heaven and a new earth to replace the rule of wealth and war with your realm of justice and peace. Amen.
And just a final thank you to the committee for all of their work, and we ask that you continue throughout the year to remember our credentialed leaders, to remember us all as we work for the community, for the greater good, to calling those to the water. Amen.
Before we take a look at the spending plan for the coming year, in the spirit and in connection to remembering those that have gone before us, I would like to announce that recently your Central District Conference received an estate gift from Dr. Russell Oyer estate. Dr. Oyer passed away in March at Broman in Normal, and remembered Central District Conference in his charitable estate planning. So it's with a deep sense of gratitude that I announce that this morning. And the board, your board, will be considering how that gift will be put to use for the betterment of the conference and the kingdom. I felt overnight like perhaps I left you with a rather bleak picture because congregational giving is behind. It's really not a bleak picture. And on page 48 is where you find the spending plan that I will move that we adopt here in a minute. But before that, a couple corrections. Column 4 on page 48 was the actual 2016-17 spending and income. And those numbers are actually only through April 30 of 2017. Those were 10-month numbers, not yearly numbers. So congregational giving, and this is in column 4, the top number, congregational giving in 2016-17 for the whole year was actually $198,272, not $139,000. And so total income for the conference last fiscal year was $250,285, not $165,368. The total expenses, if you go to the bottom line in column 4, if you go to the bottom line, bottom number, column 4, total expenses were not $158,290, they were $230,922. So last fiscal year, we had a gain of about $19,000. The $250,285 minus the $230,992. Just wanted to correct that. Through May, the last column, the sixth column, The actual numbers, the difference between the income, which is shown here through April at $177,801, and total expenses, that bottom number of $179,053, through May, that difference is a negative $226. So we're that close, because even though congregational giving is down, expenses are also down from what we had in the spending plan. So Emma is predicting, and she's usually really, really accurate in these predictions. She is actually predicting that even though congregational giving is down, we are likely to end this fiscal year pretty much at break even. And that's where we were at the end of May. So it's not a bleak picture. Any questions or clarifications on any of that stuff? All right. Now you have the spending plan, which is the seventh column. Total of $234,257, and I hereby move that we adopt that spending plan for the coming year.
We need a second on the motion. George Lehman. Further discussion, other questions? Seeing none, it appears you're ready to vote. All in favor of the motion as moved, please raise your right hands. If you raise your left, that's okay too. Opposed, same sign. The motion is carried. The budget is adopted. Thank you. A glasses case was turned in here at the table at the end of the worship session, so it's a nice case. We could auction it off if no one wants to claim it. But if it's yours, come and pick it up here at the table after the session. We're going to give you a chance to stand now again as Janine leads us in the song.
We'll sing Come Walk With Us and then Come Uplift Us and Bring Us New Life.
Come walk with us, the journey is long. 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 Uplift us, come uplift us, come uplift us, come uplift us, and bring us to life, and bring us to life, and bring us to life, and bring us to life.
four items again in order, as indicated in your agenda. The CLC report from Doug, Mike Danner with a word from MCUSA, the MCC Great Lakes report, and the Listening Committee report.
Friends, I'm pleased to give a report on the last two Constituency Leader Council meetings, one that took place in October of last year and one in April of this year. CLC serves a valuable function for mutual resourcing, discernment, and leadership building across the denomination. And the relationships nurtured at CLC strengthen the life of the denomination. And I have found that to be very true as we've gotten to know folks from every conference of Mennonite Church USA. And I did want to note too, Jim Harder is no longer here, but I understand that he was very significant in helping to develop this idea of the Constituency Leaders Council. So it is a gift to the denomination, a place where decisions aren't made, but where good discernment and good learning happens. Our CLC representatives from Central District are Armin Habegger and Anna Yoder-Schleba and myself. Our October 2017 meeting in Kansas City focused on three primary areas. First, as a way of providing discernment, we reflected on and reviewed our convention in Orlando, which included the Future Church Summit. And we also heard initial plans for the Journey Forward process and gave some feedback around that process. Secondly, as a way of sharing ideas and resources, we heard from representatives of two of our conferences about how they are responding to concerns around immigration. We heard of a South Central Conference congregation whose ministry is primarily centered on assisting families adversely affected by current immigration policy. And we also heard how Central Plains Conference provided care and support for a pastor and his family following the deportation of that pastor. And a third area of discernment focused on the changes happening within Mennonite Church USA leadership and programs. We received updates regarding the search for a new executive director of MCUSA and other open staffing positions. And we also heard about changes proposed to the Mennonite Education Agency and the proposed formation of a Mennonite Higher Education Association. And finally, we discussed the metaphor of MCUSA as a federation of conferences. Our April meeting at Doc Academy in Lansdale, Pennsylvania, had some similar themes. We heard an update on the good work being done by the writing team of the Journey Forward process. And Isaac Viejas is one of the members of that writing team, is with us this week. Journey Forward is a church-wide renewal process of engaging in scripture, storytelling, and sharing how God is at work in the lives of people and congregations across MCUSA. Our CDC Leadership Council strongly encourages every congregation to find some way to engage in the Journey Forward Pathways Study Guide before the end of 2018. You can simply go to the Mennonite Church USA website, and the landing page there, you will find information about Future Church Summit and the Pathways Study Guide. Secondly, we provided feedback and counsel on a proposed policy of the MCUSA Executive Board regarding board appointments. In summary, the policy clarifies who can be considered for MCUSA board positions. If a credentialed person is being considered, then their credential must be in good standing with their conference. If a lay person is being considered, then their congregational membership must be in good standing. This guidance was used as the board ultimately affirmed Doug Basinger as a member of the Leadership Development Committee of Mennonite Church USA. We also heard a final report from the panel on sexual abuse prevention, which has been focusing recently on developing resources for congregations in response to accusations of abuse by non-credentialed leaders. We also received copies of two resources that are available on the MCUSA website. And I'm aware of at least one CDC congregation that has made good use of these resources in a situation that arose in their congregation and found it to be a very helpful resource. Our own Bradley Kaufman led us in singing and provided an update on the progress of the Worship and Song Collection Project. The name of the new resource was recently released as Voices Together. And I don't know if Bradley's here, but we do certainly thank him and his family for their participation in making this possible, this new resource. We also heard a report from a special meeting of conference ministers that took place the day before the last CLC meeting. Conference ministers shared openly and honestly with one another about differences in our credentialing practices between conferences. We named the importance of supporting and resourcing one another. We recognize that we need each other as conference ministers. And we committed to communicating with our conference leaders and delegates that credentialing decisions are a function of the local conference, recognizing that there will likely continue to be different practices among us. And finally, transition and change within the denomination was highlighted. We heard new MCUSA Executive Director Glenn Guyton deliver an inspiring and quite an artistic meditation to the Doc Woods students during chapel. Gifts that he has are being revealed in new ways, and it's wonderful to see his leadership. We celebrated the 8 years of leadership of Irvin Stutzman that he provided to the denomination, and we were introduced to four new leaders of the denomination. Sandra Schenk Lapp is the Office Manager for Leadership Development. Sue Park Herr is the Denominational Minister for Leadership Development. Shanna Peachy Beauchart, Denominational Minister for Faith Formation. And Michael Danner, Associate Executive Director for Church Vitality and Engagement. So I've personally enjoyed getting to know these individuals over the past couple of years, and I'm grateful that they were willing to say yes to challenging leadership roles. The person on this team that I have known the best for the longest period of time is Michael. Michael Danner was Executive Conference Minister of Illinois Conference, and we had many opportunities to spend time together at pastor peer gatherings, at mid-states gatherings, even having some spiritual retreats together as conference ministers. He began in his new role just 3 weeks ago. And I have great respect for Michael and appreciate his engaging personality, his deep faith in Jesus Christ, his ability to challenge as well as affirm, and his commitment to Anabaptist theology and Mennonite faith. It's my privilege to invite Michael to come up and give a report on MCUSA.
Well, good afternoon. He said basically everything I was going to say, and that's 100% true. So. First of all, I do want to thank you for one of the joys in this job already is that I get to go to annual assemblies, to conferences. For over two decades, I was a part of Illinois Mennonite Conference, so I know how they do things, and now it's great to see how other conferences do things as well. And you all have a lot of fun. Like, I'm thinking last session, we're done, the room will be half full, there'll be a kind of a depressed feeling, and you guys come out with Jeopardy and laughter, and so... I really do appreciate it. I appreciate the warm hospitality. Some things that I just noticed as somebody that hasn't been here before is that you all seem to love one another. I appreciate the clarity of vision that Central District Conference has, the way that comes out of kind of who you are collectively as a group. I certainly appreciate the way Doug and leadership of Central District actually engage other conferences collaboratively, creatively, as you saw with Allegheny. And that kind of work actually will make my work much, much easier. And so when congregations engage one another on substantive issues but can come to common understandings to move forward, that is extremely important. As Doug said, there's a lot of transition in Mennonite Church USA staff. Since he said it, I won't say it again, but it's fair to say we're trying to find our footing as a team. We're not quite all started yet. Shanna doesn't start yet till August. And so Not only are we all fairly new, Iris lives in Portland, Sue lives in Pasadena, Glenn lives in San Antonio, Texas. I'll be moving to Elkhart actually in about a week and a half, and so I'll be in this space, but we're in different places, which is a significant challenge to get to know people relationally. So I would appreciate your prayers for that as we begin to do this work together, that we would learn to know one another and gel together as a team so we can serve the church better. Of course, the work of the church keeps going on, and so front and center for Mennonite Church USA right now is the Journey Forward process. I don't want to take a lot of time to talk about that, but do go to the website, and you'll find, as Doug said, at MennoniteUSA.org, how you can engage in that process and what that's like. I guess what I'm going to do is tell you a little bit of, maybe use some different language to talk about Journey Forward than maybe you're used to, and I'm going to read something by not a theologian or a church person at all, but by a marketing guy. Which was right here, and now is not. Do any of you know who Seth Godin is? Wow, anybody? Yes, a few people. So Seth's a marketing guy, right? And one of the most reliable things that happens in my life is before my feet hit the ground, I usually read what Seth has written. And this morning, this is what he wrote. It's titled Hollow Inside, right? And he says, "What's inside the Leaning Tower of Pisa?" A question I'd never considered before. What's inside the Leaning Tower of Pisa? Nothing. It's a hollow tube. One of the most iconic buildings in the world is empty. But that's okay, because the building doesn't make any promises about what's inside. There is no expectation, no offer of engagement. It merely is. Chocolate Easter rabbits are a different story. You can't help but feel ripped off when you discover that they're hollow. This is why I like him. He says, when you bring a brand to the world, it's rare indeed that people are okay with it having nothing inside. The wrapper matters, but so does the experience within. And so I think that has a lot to say about the spirit behind the Journey Forward process. In our world today, as Anabaptist Mennonite followers of Jesus that make up Mennonite Church USA, what offer are we making to our neighbors, to our communities and cities, to our country, to the world? It's not a question of what does our wrapper look like, what the visual identity guidelines are followed or not. It's what is the experience within our communities? What do people experience within our churches? I don't think that that's a question that can be or should be answered at an office somewhere by national staff and then wrapped up in a shiny package and distributed to churches and conferences. I think it's a question that you all have to answer. It's a grassroots question. If it's going to have integrity, if it's going to be a genuine offer, it has to come from you. And so the spirit behind the Journey Forward process is actually a grassroots conversation about who do we want to be, what offer do we want to make the world to the world as Anabaptist Mennonite followers of Jesus called Mennonite USA. And so from what I've seen here, you have a lot to offer your communities. And so I would encourage you to participate fully in the Journey Forward process. We could really use your feedback and help what you're doing here shape the overall direction of Mennonite Church USA. So thank you, and your prayers are greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sunitha Millsaps. I am Program Director for MCC Great Lakes. And my very brief report, we have a report for you in the folders. My very brief report says thank you. Thank you so much for your generous and faithful support of MCC Great Lakes. As many of you know, the work is ever, ever, ever moving. It just never stops. And so whether we're giving relief kits and comforters to families and individuals on the move in Syria, or if we're building and creating boreholes in Zimbabwe, or if we're planning a pipeline, a prison tour that still has a couple of spaces open if you want to attend, here in Elkhart, Indiana, all of this is made possible because of the support that you have given MCC over the years. We still have a lot of work to do, and we have as many challenges as the rest of the Mennonite Church in the process. And so our report to you is simply to say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless.
Jane and Tim and I on the listening committee have had the privilege and the responsibility to pay attention at what we attended this last day or two and to reflect back to you what we heard in worship in the sessions yesterday and in these sessions and in between.
We don't know where we're going. God is with us. God will never leave us. Through chant and song, through text and sermon, through confessions and prayers, through children's story and rituals, with our senses, with our voices, with our minds, with our bodies, we encountered again and again this powerful articulation of the essence of faith. We don't know where we're going, yet God is with us, and God will never leave us. Our worship services this conference continue to be rich and full. For many CDCers, these worship times not only hold us together as sister congregations, but they help hold us in MCUSA right now. While we face our unknowing, reminded that a keener sense of God's being with us is found in the God we see and experience in worship here with each other, especially in warm hugs, the shared laughter, and the weeping eyes that testify to the righteous power of welcome, affirmation, and full inclusion. We are a conference on a journey. We are congregations on journeys and individuals too, with stories to hallow and share. Thank you to the worship planners, preachers, musicians, and leaders. You guided us, taught us, led us, challenged and inspired us to choose trust when knocked off our high horses, to choose trust that Jesus is on the other side of any dead end, to notice God in one another by the affirmation of, I see you, to learn new chants, to keep walking on the journey that is long, to pray for the only real currency, which is love, and to be a humble, hospitable people that embody the power of God's table and the voice that calls us beloved at the waters of baptism, so as to encounter a culture, so as to cultivate a culture of encounter as healers and repairers of the breach in God's shalom near and far.
Part of our not knowing where we're going is the disorientation and chaos of our culture. But we find our way as we tell our stories and find other companions on the journey. That seemed to be the message of the seminars and workshops this year, rather was learning what our African-American sisters and brothers need to teach each generation to get home safe, or discover the power of presence on a train ride in a country at war. Rather was a congregation discovering a mission of transitional housing or providing hospitality with people from around the world in our nation's capital. And then in the late afternoon seminars, we found ourselves finding reorientation by focusing on the reign of God in mission, education, service, and song. And we heard appreciation for kind of using a little bit different format than sometimes for how the workshops and seminars were done.
And with distinctive humor and a note of history, Armin Habegger gave his inaugural wrapping of the CDC gavel and then invited us all into his curiosity and delight about the piece of wood from which the gavel is made. In that, and in giving his State of the Conference address, Armin proved that he is capable of invoking what he called the laughter that lightens our moments together. That laughter was and is a vital part of CDC, especially during our delegate sessions. Laughter is part of what helps CDC maintain its party kind of reputation as much as is possible in a conference delegate meeting. And this year, we were happy to welcome individuals, friends, visitors, new congregations, and even Allegheny Conference to the party, however late any of us arrived. Welcoming others to the party is one of the number of ways in which our delegate sessions were a study in shifting boundaries. We heard testimony of how boundaries have been shifting for many individuals as our faith and church families have expanded and contracted and transformed over the years. We caught a glimpse of CDC's current dance with Allegheny, and it evoked a sense of hope among some that our institution is capable of new creative ways of cooperating. It evoked questions that if we can buy time from a kindred institution, might we also be able to spend our currency with organizations whose boundaries require us to stretch even further in our work of overcoming racism and all that we are called to? Speaking of such boundaries, we also found ourselves chuckling at repeated jokes about the congregational makeups of Gentiles, or one which is pastorless but also yoderless. Such laughter brings a cathartic and, to some, painful reminder that a come here, from here mentality is still very strong at the intersection of Anabaptist commitment and other identity markers such as race, gender, and ethnicity. On Twitter yesterday, Delegate Hillary Watson invited Mennonites to, quote, re-examine the way they talk about ethnic Mennonites. And last year's CDC plenary speaker, Drew Hart, replied, offering a succinct justification. It is racist. It is a racialized hierarchical framework which obscures the way Euro-Mennonites assimilated into, perform, and are advantaged by whiteness. So, as with our confessional tones in worship, we at CDC continue to deepen our awareness of the ways in which we are in the red, perhaps even if not as much as we thought in our reconciling our budget. Still, we have much reconciling to do with one another and our neighbors. Meanwhile, we at CDC have been able to conduct the business of this institution like a family, with respect, truthfulness, love, laughter, and as was said about last year, with nary an intervention by the parliamentarian. We close by offering our thanks.
To the local churches and individuals who planned and supported this assembly, and to all the visitors from sister congregations and churchwide guests, we thank you.
To the Gifts Discernment Committee and their work to help us call people for new or continuing roles.
And again, to the worship planners and all participants.
For Carrie Mass, work with bringing us the minute summary every year. Thank you.
For those ending terms with CDC and those beginning new ones.
To the Missional Church Committee, for fulfilling our deepest desire to have our reports framed and enriched with superfluous dramatic license.
For Jim Harder's presidency at Bluffton University.
To College Mennonite Church, the catering staff who brought us excellent meals, and the building staff who transitioned rooms at early and late hours.
To Doug, for steady leadership and generous smiles. And finally to Emma, who is likely to be the first person to help us when we don't know where we are going.
In your packets and on the website are evaluation forms. If looking in your packet, the form is blue, on one side you may enter nominations for elected positions for the conference. On the other side, you may evaluate the conference itself that can serve helpful planning information for next year's event. A blue form in your packets, but there's also an online form if you choose to do it that way. Which way you go is immaterial, but we would certainly welcome your contributions in that regard. Are there any other delegate items that need to be brought to the floor? That's what we will do. We'll give you 5 minutes. We will allow you to fill out those forms right here and now. So let's take 5 minutes. We're still within the schedule of time. So let's take 5 minutes. And if you would please fill out the evaluation forms. You are very obedient students. Thank you for doing that. You may leave your evaluations on the table. We will pick them up. Next year's conference dates are June 20 through 22nd, the fourth weekend in June 2019. Location is yet undetermined. And noting that, I close the 62nd session of the annual meeting of the Central District Conference. And we'll call upon Janine at this point to lead us in song, and then Doug will come up. And I am now nameless. Please pull out your name tags and then leave your lanyards and holder on a back table there in a box as you depart this location. Thank you very much for attending. We appreciate your presence with us and look forward to seeing you again.
Give us peace when the journey is done.
Give us peace when the journey is done. Give us peace when the journey is done. Give us peace when the journey is done. Give us peace when the journey is long. The journey is long.
Closing prayer will be in three segments. Invite you after each one. I'll invite you together to say, "We give you praise, O God. We give you praise, O God. God of story and song, you have been with us from our beginning, speaking your word through all creation, inviting your people to see your shalom-making mission in the world, anointing us with your love, feeding us with your peace, baptizing us with your life. Together, we give you praise, O God. God of journey and rest, we have come together to share our journey stories, knowing that we find wisdom and inspiration from one another. Be with us as we depart, finding rest in all the places that we call home. Together, we give you praise, O God. God of Jesus, our Messiah, we know the way because in Christ you lived among us. Be with us as we daily decide to follow you. Come, walk with us, O God. Tell us your story, for in your story we find life. We give you praise, O God. Amen.
Let's stand and sing, "We will walk with God, my brothers. We will walk with God. We will walk with God, my sisters. We will go rejoicing till the kingdom has come.
We will walk with God, my